Hey guys, my name is Danny Gleason, and today on my podcast, I'm going to be talking about, you know, how does digital media either increase or decrease our abilities to mobilize? So, I mean, just a little background, there's no denying, obviously, that social media, it represents an important tool for protest movements, you know, with the effectively, to mobilize, you know, their and communicate their message. But the effectiveness of this depends on the user, pretty much. So, you know, and an over-reliance can become, you know, a serious detriment. It can hurt a movement also, you know, with the evolution of the leadership. You know, for someone to lead a protest movement effectively, and, like, the leadership has to venture, you know, outside of cyberspace. It has to learn what it means to face off, you know, against a regime's, like, counterintelligence, say, you know, like, the capabilities that they have in more than just the virtual world. So, essentially, leaders of a movement that exploit the use of social media, you know, they must take the same risks as, you know, those of groups that lack such networking capability. And like any other tool, you know, social media has, you know, drawbacks. Lowering the cost of communication, you know, will also diminish operational security. Things like Facebook messages can be open for all to see, and even private messages can be viewed by authorities through, you know, search warrants, and in more open countries, or pressure on the internet social media firms, you know, in more closed ones. It can definitely turn into a valuable, you know, tool for, in terms of mobilizing, you know, which is why we see it a lot today, and it's so prominent in places for them to get their message heard, you know, throughout the world at the click of a button. So, I mean, social media is only one part of the array of, you know, political, economic, social, and institutional factors that shape, you know, regional politics. They honestly have a unique role, and it shouldn't be exaggerated, but it also, you know, shouldn't be minimized, because few other areas of social or political life have even witnessed, you know, such dramatic and rapid change over the last decade. The internet and social media, you know, they've created an ever-evolving but, you know, quite resilient new informational, you know, ecosystem. And it honestly shapes every aspect of the political environment, when we see things like President Trump and Twitter and, you know, stuff like that. Online media can take many forms, obviously. They have different social and political implications as well. There seem to be some political and social effects, you know, that all social media platforms share in common. Self-selection into communication networks seems to, you know, accelerate and intensify the flow of information, but, you know, it also directs it through communities of, you know, like the like-minded. Things like individual Facebook pages may also, you know, become centers for, you know, deliberation. And that can be good and bad sometimes, but you also have, like, individual and group blogs that may serve as a primary source of news and opinion within a particular community. So larger and more formal online newspapers and websites, you know, may start to become authoritative sources of alternative news, and opinion, you know, because you have Twitter, which can allow a small group of, you know, local activists that can transmit their message to a large, you know, pretty much international audience by connecting with, you know, influential journalists or even, you know, public figures, which is the crazy part. So the effects of social media have, you know, obviously been limited once upon a time to a small group of, you know, young activists, you know, given the relatively low levels of internet penetration, obviously, and the dominating factor of the English language online, you know, just after the turn of the century. But today, obviously, we know that this is not the case at all. Because if you consider the penetration of just one social media platform like Facebook, as of, you know, it's predominantly used in North America. But in countries like Arab countries now, it's booming. And this is, you know, most of these, you know, users engage in some forms of political communication or news consumption on social media. So it doesn't, it doesn't mean that traditional media has lost its significance, but, traditional media and social media have evolved together, you know, kind of into a complex, you know, interdependent ecosystem. Obviously today, with much greater levels of social media use and significant social media presence by broadcast media platforms, you know, there's even a tighter integration with the reporting and discussions, you know, on broadcast media. You know, it is social media's role in that pre-uprising period, you know, of political engagement and experimentation and mobilization, you know, that is the most relevant to understanding, you know, this, like, the certain, you know, political situation that's current now. And speaking of now, I mean, the power of, you know, repressive states, it poses a daunting obstacle to political mobilization, obviously, but activists, you know, during those early years, they developed new ways to communicate, you know. They challenged, like, state domination over the flow of information, you know, and to organize. So, obviously, they're still doing this today, and in far greater numbers, obviously, across a far wider cross-section of society, but this was a lot different than in the previous decade. And there's also opportunities, you know, for, you know, a regime threatening protests, you know, may be scarce over the next few years. Because, but you're going to have political engagement that continues to evolve within, you know, a rapidly changing information and communications environment, which is what, you know, we deal with today. If you look at something like, you know, the Arabs and in 2011, how they retreated to, you know, into online spaces, you know, to rethink and reshape and even recreate forms of, you know, continuous political action. But, like, the severe increase in state surveillance and repression of the internet over the last 5 years has really shaped the way, you know, online media and social media is used in Arab countries. But even such measures like those, they can't erase the generational impact of the massive increase in the availability, you know, and even the use of social media. I think to understand how social media affects, you know, politics in this obviously post-uprising environment, you know, it requires, you know, moving away from a narrower questions of political protest. So as far as I think, I really do think that digital media, and especially social media, I think it very much increases the ability to mobilize. And because you have so many different platforms, you have so many opportunities to speak your mind, you have an easier way of getting the attention, you know, of a public figure or even a government official. Like, you can get, you tweet one thing at Donald Trump, he might even just reply. Like, you never know. That's how crazy it is today in this age. So I think more now than ever, the ability to mobilize is easier than it ever has been. And